I want you to imagine, I've done this with all three of my kids when they're about 2, 3 years old. They are on the side of the pool. You've been there, and you're in the pool, and you're trying to encourage them, just jump in. There's so much fun inside the pool. And depending on the personality of your kids, some of them are really, really worried about jumping. And they honestly, they have a good reason to. I mean, it's reasonable for them to think, wait, the ground that I'm standing on is so secure, it's so solid, I have no concerns about this ground being secure. It can hold me. I'm not so sure about the water. I don't know how to swim. For some of them, depending on the age, they realize, wait a minute, that water is deeper than I am tall. Wait a minute, I've fallen before, and if I fall into that water, is it going to hurt like the other times that I've fallen? So they've got some good reasons why not to jump. All the information they had, in fact, was correct. The water is deeper than they are tall. The ground that they are on is secure, but what moms and dads try to do when they're coaxing their kids to jump in the pool, they're asking them to hold that information that is true and then add one other thing to the equation, and that is, I'm on the other side. That my feet can touch the bottom, that I am able to catch you, that I am able to hold you, I am able to keep you from drowning. They're not asked to just totally dismiss what is true and what is real. They're just asked to add something else that's more powerful to the equation, their mom or their dad. And that is, at the essence, that is the Christmas story. There are some things in the Christmas story that we're going to see from Mary's perspective today that they were absolutely right, but what Mary was invited to do was add something else to the equation. It's this idea of faith. And the scriptures show us that without faith, if we don't have faith, it's actually impossible for us to please God. And so the question is, how do I grow in that? How do I grow in that? Because we all have it. We all have it. We're on the edge of the pool and we have information that is correct. And yet we know that God is inviting us to something. He's inviting us to, for some of us, it's to take big leaps, to make big changes. For others, it's just small daily obedience. And yet I know that that's what he wants, and I can hear his voice calling me, and at the same time, this feels really secure. I'm not sure how that all works. What is that tension? How do we navigate that? And what faith is, if we were to boil it down, faith begins where our understanding ends. That I don't need faith when I understand everything. That faith is not required when everything is crystal clear. I only need faith when everything is not clear, and when there are some confusing things, and you're going to have, just like I'm going to have, moments like that over and over and over and over again. You're not going to be able to see the future. You're not going to be able to understand how this, connects to that, and connects to that other thing. All you know is, I just know that I know that I know God is calling me to something. God is calling me to move in this direction, or to stop, or to grow, or to change. It could be big, it could be small. And yet, how's it all going to work out? That's where faith comes in. Because if I know everything, there's no reason for faith. Faith, the only reason that I have faith is because there is some uncertainty. And what God invites us to do, just like that parent at the pool, yes, it's true that you don't know. Yes, it's true that it's scary. Yes, I understand that you're confused. I'm not asking you to dismiss those. I'm not asking you to put your head in the sand. I'm not asking you to pretend like that isn't real. I'm just asking you to add something else to the equation. I'm on the other side of this. I'm the one that's calling you to it. The Apostle Paul said it. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Christians do. That as we grow and as we change and as God calls us to more things and calls us to change, that the walk of a Christian is a walk of faith, that it's daily obedience, that man, there's never a time for all of us where we arrive. None of us ever get to the place where we're done growing. None of us ever get to the place where God doesn't want us to change. Daily obedience, God calls us. Just walk by faith. Trust me. Trust me with your money. Trust me with your time. Trust me with your talent. Trust me with all the things that you have at your disposal. I just want you to trust me. And then there's bigger things. There's bigger things like the doctor's offices where they say, hey, we need you to come back in. We need you to run some extra tests. We saw something. There's uncertainty. Walk by faith, not by sight. When that dream job that you had, you were so sure you were going to get it. And they call and say, hey, we actually went with somebody else. Like, well, there's that gap then. I know that I'm disappointed. I know that I feel frustrated. I know, but how do I keep walking into what God wants me to walk in? Oh, well, we walk by faith and not by sight. Some of you maybe have a Christmas mug or a piece of art on your wall that says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Why does Solomon say this? Because our understanding is limited. I can only see this moment right here, right now. I have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming 30 minutes from now. My understanding is as limited as this present moment is. And when I live my entire life based on my understanding, I miss out on a lot of things. And so the Solomon, the wisest man, he says, I want you to trust in the Lord. And that's, it's great on a coffee mug. It's great to put on an iPhone back screen. It's wonderful to have a piece of art in your house that says it's a lot harder. And let's be honest, it's a lot harder to do it. It's easy to quote when things are going great and when you understand everything and there's no tension and no confusion. It's really difficult to walk through that. God, I know that you're calling me to it, but I feel so secure here on the edge. I know that you're wanting me to go in on this direction, but it feels like the water is deeper than I am tall. I'm just not sure how to do it. Trust in the Lord. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because Mary's story, and really the Christmas story, is a beautiful representation of what do you do when the path seems unclear? How do you hold on to, there are some things that are true that I don't know, and I'm not dismissing those, and while holding that, still say, God, I'm going to trust you in spite of. Because God's, every time, in your life and in every person in the Scripture's life, God's extraordinary plans always start with just that small step of faith every single time. Every single time. Every time God does something extraordinary, every time God does something wonderful in my life, in your life, in the life of everybody in the Old Testament, everybody in the New Testament, how did it start? With just ordinary, everyday people taking small steps of, God, I'm going to trust you in spite of some of the things that I see around me. God, I'm going to trust that you must know more than I know. I know that the ground is secure. I know that the water is deeper than I am tall. I know some things, and I'm going to trust you in spite of it. And nowhere, again, nowhere is more evident than the Christmas story. The Christmas story is the ultimate story of trust. You've heard, you could tell the story. We could invite almost every single one of you up here, and you could tell us the Christmas story. It starts with Mary, right? Just a young girl, and, you know, with not here to disrespect or offend any of my Catholic friends, but Mary was just an ordinary person. Mary just a person, just like you and me. Just a flawed human who at one point in her life decided, I'm going to trust God. So she's a teenager about now. And we know the story. The angel comes. If you want to follow along, we're going to read it. I'll make a couple comments. Luke chapter 1. Again, you've heard this story. In the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Why was they able to say that? Because at some point, Mary decided, I'm going to trust God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Mary absolutely understood the prophet Isaiah that said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so at some point in Mary's young teenage life, she decided, I'm just going to trust God with my life. And God came to her, just like, by the way, he can come to you and say, hey, you're favored. Hey, I've got a plan for your life. I've got something that I want you to do. Mary, again, Mary was just a person, just a person that decided, I'm going to leave a blank check with my life to my Heavenly Father. Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting could this be? And the angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. How do we find favor with God? Well, it's impossible to please God without faith. So Mary had an element of faith in her life. Now listen, you will, calling him off the edge, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Verse number 34, Mary just says, not so sure about it. How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with man. So Mary isn't exactly where some of you are at maybe today. But you know God's calling you to something, and yet there's some reality that you know is true. There are some things that seem like what I have at my knowledge, what my understanding is, what you're calling me to, I don't think I can take that next step. And we can get stuck right there. We can just put the pause on everything God wants to do if we stay at verse number 34. Well, how can that be? How is it going to work out? What about this thing? I can't see at the end of the story. What about step two? And what about step three? And what about when this happens? All the whatabouts. And the whatabouts can stop us from doing everything that God wants to do. That Mary at one point had to decide, where am I going to place my confidence now? In what I know is true. And again, not trying to dismiss what's true. All's accurate. She's not lying. And at the same time, God's calling her to do something different. Verse number 35, the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, for she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing, look at this, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, in your life, you're going to be somewhere between verse number 34 and verse number 38. Because in all of our lives, if we are following God, God is going to call us to something. He's going to call us to change. He's going to call us to move. He's going to call us to something different. And you will have all the reasons why I can't do that. I'm not sure about that. What about, what about, what about, what about, what about? And it's not that those aren't true. It's not that they're not real. It's not that they're not important. But they can be the thing that stops God from doing everything that he wants to do in your life. What Mary was able to do by faith is to go one step further. And this is what I'm inviting you to. See, I'm the Lord's servant. All of my questions aren't answered. I still have some whatabouts. I still have, oh, I don't know. I'm the Lord's servant. In spite of everything I know, here's what I know more. You're the one that authored my life. You're the one that's going to be there at the end of my life. And so in this life, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm just going to give you a blank check with my life. May it happen to me as you have said. Mary made that really difficult choice. I'm just going to let God be the director of my life. I'm not going to let my understanding be the director of my life, because if my understanding is a director of my life is really, really small. But if I can instead have enough faith to say, God, may it be unto me as you have said. God, here is my life. Again, not special. She was just willing to trust. Not special. She was just willing to say, God, in spite of all the things I know and in spite of all the things I don't know, here is my life. And in your life, in my life, if you have to understand everything before you do something, you'll never do anything. It just won't happen. If you have to, if your litmus test for doing what God calls you to do is, I need to know it all. I need to understand all the answers to all the questions. I need to know what's going to happen here, and I need to have the 5-year plan, and I need to have it all marked out, and I need it. You'll just be stuck in neutral, because that's not faith. That's not trusting. That's trusting in what do I know. And when we're in that struggle, and all of us at some point will be, of feeling so strongly, I know that this is what God wants me to do, and yet I'm also scared at the same time. Here's just a couple things to remember. These aren't steps that you take, just a couple things to remember. As you're in that tension, and some of you might be living there today, that you know that you know that you know God is calling me to something. And for some of you, maybe it's small, maybe it's just daily obedience. For some of you, maybe it's a big thing that you're, this is the year. I know I need to forgive. I know I need to start. I know I need to stop. I know that I've got that hidden sin in my life, and I know that God is calling me, but I just don't know how it's all going to work. Just a few things to remember, and then we're going to be done for the day. Faith is based on who God is, not my understanding of what he's doing. That's what faith is based on, is not my ability to understand how are all the pieces of the puzzle going to fit in. My faith is based on, I think that God is good, and I think that God has my best interest in mind. And I think that ultimately at the end of the day, God is faithful enough to be able to catch me when I jump off the edge. Mary's response, let it be done to me according to your will. Of course she had questions. I mean, how can this be? And it's easy to get stuck there. God, what are you doing? How's this going to work out? How are you going to do this? And what about this person? And then what? Faith is based on who is God? In spite of all the things, I don't know. Who is God? Here's a few things that God is. This isn't an ultimate list, but just a few things that Mary understood that I want you to know, that you can have faith in God because he is faithful, that he is constant, he is steady. There's never been a moment where he has changed a smallest amount. He's faithful. Not only is he faithful, he's good. He's faithful. Even when the timing doesn't make sense to me, God's good. Even when I don't understand how it's all going to work out, even when what I'm going through today doesn't feel good, I know that God is good. And so my faith is not based on my understanding of what God is doing. My faith is based on, well, God's faithful and God is good. And not only that, but God's wise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When I am humble enough to recognize that my understanding is really limited and God is limitless, I can have faith and God must know what he's doing. God must know what he's talking about. Some of you, because of the gift of time, have learned what God knew from the very beginning. That God called you to something and you were uncertain and you were unsure and how is it all going to work out? But there was something in you that said, I'm just going to trust God. And you took that leap of faith. And now, months later, weeks later, maybe years removed, with the gift of time, the gift of perspective, you can see what God saw all along. Oh, I know what you're doing now. Oh, I see how that worked out. Oh, and you would say, I am so glad I took that leap. I'm so glad that what I knew was true right here didn't keep me from what God was calling me to on the other side. I'm so glad I had faith in who God is, not my understanding of what he was doing. He is wise and he's present. He is with me. That he is a companion that sticks closer than a brother, even in confusion, even in uncertainty, even when I don't see all it's going to work out. My faith is this is who God is. And because this is who God is, when I know that I know that I know this is what God is calling me to do, I'm going to take the leap of faith. We're not inviting you to be foolish. We're not inviting you to do something dumb. We're not inviting you to just, you know, you ate a bad piece of pizza and you had this dream and you think, now I'm going to, that's not what we're talking about. But some of you know that you know that you know this is what God's calling me to. This is what God is leading me to. And I want us to be like Mary. May it be done unto me according to your will. That we remember, we have faith because God, my circumstances are temporary. What I'm going through now is going to be different than what I go through later. But God's character is permanent. That my understanding of God's plan might come and go. What is frustrating to me now is going to be something different that's frustrating to me in a few weeks. The things that stress me out today are different than what's going to stress me out a year from now. But here's what I know is true. God is faithful. God is wise. God is present. God is so kind, and he is with me. And so I just trust in his character. Mary's story is the story of someone that just decided, I don't know how it's going to work out. What about? I'm going to trust you anyway. She anchored herself in this is who I trust, not this is what I know. If you're anchored to what you know, your ability to be used by God, my ability to use by God is limited. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Trust is based on my understanding of who God is, not just my understanding of what God is doing. And then second thing to remember is this, that faith, it grows. It's like a muscle. It goes through obedience. Mary and Joseph, we could read Joseph's story as well if you ever wanted to read it. Matthew chapter 1 is Joseph's story. But Joseph was in the same vein as Mary. I don't think so. Everybody's going to laugh at me. I'm going to be the laughing stock. I'm just going to put Mary away quietly. He had that encounter with God. And so at the end of Matthew chapter 1 and Joseph's story, what does it say? Well, Joseph just decided, I'm going to obey God. Why? Because of faith. And what faith does is just strengthens that muscle. When I obey in these small daily things, it gives me strength to obey in the bigger things. Mary and Joseph, their yes at this moment was not their last yes. They had to trust God when they had to round up and travel 100 miles or so to Bethlehem. Not a great trip, but they had to trust God, you must have a plan. And when there was no room for them in the inn, God, you must have a plan. I'm just gonna trust you. And when they were awakened in the middle of the night and God told them, hey, you've got to flee to Egypt. Herod is out to kill your baby. I guess I'll trust him. And when Mary, Jesus' first miracle, Jesus is about 30 years old or so. Jesus is turning water into wine and the servants are there. How's it all going to work? And what did Mary say? Just do whatever he tells you to do. Just Mary had grown in her understanding. I think he must know something I don't know. I think God must be doing something I don't know. God must be doing something that I don't fully understand. I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to have faith. And then Mary, imagine it, moms. Mary watched her son brutally executed. Can you imagine? Terrible. And at that moment, Mary, I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to have faith that you must know more than I know. Why? How did it happen? She exercised that faith. Little by little by little. You've heard this phrase. How many of you ever heard this phrase? God will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that? What a great phrase. Maybe you have it on, again, maybe it's a coffee cup. Maybe, you know, you can tweet it or whatever. It sounds nice. Sounds comforting. Until you hear Mary's story. Mary's story sounds like a lot more than she could handle. Fleeing in the night so her baby's not murdered. That sounds like more than you can handle. Watching your son be brutally executed. That sounds like more than you can handle. Because that's not true. You don't find this. And again, it's a great little cliche thing. It's just not biblical. Because God will give you more than you can handle all the time. Because God's ultimate goal for me and God's ultimate goal for you is not to be self-sufficient. God's goal for me is not to be able to carry the weight of this life on my own. His ultimate goal is for me to trust. And so he oftentimes presents things, this is way more than I can handle. And in this, in the middle of it, what does he do? He also, I have more than I can handle. This seems so overwhelming. I'm so stressed out. I don't know how it's going to work out. I know God is calling me. I know God is pushing me. I've got my feet planted. I just don't know. He gives you grace in it. This is what the Apostle Paul understood. He said this, my grace is sufficient. Will God give you more than you can handle? Yes, he will. And his grace is sufficient. Will God put in front of you more than you can deal with on your own? Yes. Why? Because his ultimate goal is for you to trust. His ultimate goal is for my faith to grow. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in weakness. And I bet all the money in my pocket against all the money in your pocket that if you sat across the table from Mary, she would say, that is true. I bet Mary would be able to look you in the eye and say, through it all, God's grace was there. Through it all, God's grace sustained me. And he'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. Why? Because every act of obedience is met with God's grace. That thing that you're resisting, that thing that you know that God's calling you to do and you just put it off and I just don't know, how's it gonna, his grace meets you. What Mary learned, what Joseph learned, what some of the people in this room have learned and would be happy to share with you is that God can be trusted. That God can be trusted in the big moments of surrender and in the everyday moments of surrender. God can be trusted when all hell seems to be breaking loose and in just the little daily moments of God, I know this is what you're calling me to do. When we lean on God's grace, here's what we discover. Oh, that's enough. God's grace is enough and it's more than I can handle. But his grace met me. It feels like it's gonna be the thing that buries me. And his grace is sufficient for me. His power works best in weakness. Let me finish up. Just a couple questions. Is there an area that you're struggling to trust? That you know God's calling you to take that leap? You're right on the edge. And you know the ground that I'm on seems so secure. The water seems deeper than I am tall. I don't know how it's all going to work. Is there an area that you're struggling to trust that you know that God's calling you? Would you just obey me? Would you just follow me in this? Maybe it's a relationship that needs to be healing. Maybe for you it's to start to be generous with the money that God has poured into your life. Maybe it's to forgive. Maybe it's to restore. Maybe it's to apologize. I don't know what it could be. Again, there's every season of our life, God calls us to different things and new things. He wants us to grow. Is there an area that you're saying, God, I just don't know? Here's a wonderful prayer for you to pray. If you know that God's calling you, but you just can't quite get yourself over there, would you memorize this verse this week, Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me experience your faithful love in the morning. for I trust in you. Here's what David is saying. It reminds us that no matter what challenges we face, his love meets us every single morning. That no matter what I did yesterday, his love is gonna meet me fully today. That no matter how much of a mess I made of my life yesterday, that every morning his mercies are brand new. I trust in you. Reveal the way that I should go. God, where are you calling me to? In my parenting, in my marriage, with my money, with all the different talents that you've given me, with my time, all the different things. Where should I go? Sorry, go back to that last slide. Because I appeal to you. Some of the translations say, before I trust in you. David doesn't trust in his own circumstances, his own strength. He doesn't trust in his ability to understand. His trust is rooted in God alone. David understands that because God's character is good and God's character is present and God's character is faithful and God's character is wise, I can, God, reveal me, where do you want me to go? Which direction are you calling me to go? And I will do it because of you, not because of my understanding. Faith is not about having all the answers. It's not about knowing all the different ways that all the pieces of the puzzle are going to fit. Faith is, I know who holds it. I don't know the future, but I know who holds it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know who does. God's extraordinary plans, we said at the beginning, God's extraordinary plans, they always start with one small step of faith. And Christmas is our reminder that God has extraordinary plans. Christmas is our reminder that God wants to do amazing things on the earth. And Christmas is our reminder that God wants to use people like me and people like you and people like Mary and people like Joseph to accomplish those plans. You can be part of it. You can play a part in what God wants to do here on this earth. You're not immune. You say, well, yeah, but I have this and I struggle with this and what about that? Nah. God's looking for faithful people. And he's looking for flawed people, and he's looking for messed up people, and he's looking for broken people, and he's looking for people who's made a mess of their life, and they've got shrapnel in the wake of their life, and yet one day wakes up like David says, God, reveal to me your plan. I want to walk in it. Your faithful love is here again every morning. God, if you want me to be part of your plan, then I'm going to do it. God has extraordinary plans. God wants to use people like you and people like me to accomplish in his plans, and we can trust him. Christmas is our reminder. We can trust him. Even when it doesn't make sense. What if your extraordinary story is waiting on the other side of a step of faith? What if God's calling you to do something, and next year at this time, when you're getting ready to celebrate Christmas 2025, you look back and say, I am so glad that I took that step of faith. I'm so glad that I was willing to hold what I knew was true and trust God at the same time. I wasn't willing to let my own limited understanding keep me from what God wanted to do. I'm so glad. I think that'll happen for you. I think you'll be able to say, oh, thank you, God, that you gave me enough faith to take that leap because I can't imagine my life any other way. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, wherever this lands for us, would you help it to be something that we grab a hold of? Lord, for some of us, we have been wrestling with you. We have been so stubborn. We have been anchored in our own understanding. And so, Lord, I'm praying this morning because it is real. It is hard. Mary wasn't wrong. She didn't know how it was going to work out. And there's people in the room today, people watching on. They're not wrong. How's it all going to work out? But yet there's this thing in us. I know this is what God wants me to do. And so, Lord, would you help us to do what Solomon said, trust in you with all of our heart, and not lean on our own understanding. Lord, I'm praying that we would be anchored in who you are, not our ability to understand. And so, Lord, would you give us, thank you that you promised that you give to each of us a measure of faith. And I'm praying that that measure of faith would be enough to do what we need to do with this message. Would you give us the courage to take this and do what you've called us to do? It's in your name that we pray. Amen.